Are you a business looking for a fresh new way to reach potential customers? Well, you need to get airtime on IT TV, a 24/7 streaming and on-demand TV service online and on Roku. With Roku having a potential reach of 62 million people, it's a perfect opportunity to reach potential customers through affordable commercial and infomercial spots. Visit us online today at itnetwork.tv.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Welcome to the Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and we have a fabulous show for you today. For everyone that's out of work, I hope you go ahead and share the show. You're celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. You're off work, kids are out of school. Be a part of the show. I'm pretty sure there's someone in your network, maybe a friend, a neighbor, who needs this information. Maybe they're a new business owner, maybe they're an entrepreneur, but they will not have this information unless you go ahead and share the show with them. And as I always say, friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So make that post, send that tweet, send that email, share, but let people know that we are here today. Now, while you're doing your job and introducing your friends and your network to the show, I'm going to go ahead and do my job and introduce our very first guest, Mr. Christian Hiscock. He is the CEO and co-founder of Cardia, which was born from the desire to change the financial services industry through heart-centered services that focus on what's truly important, the people. Good morning, Christian. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you and welcome. Thank you for inviting me to the show. And yeah, my name is Kristen, and I'm the co-founder of Cardia, which is really more from starting the financial services industry and moving into more of an operational venture company. And what I mean by that is we're really focusing on how we build companies more than the companies of which we're building. And we look at this heart-centered approach. The Greek word for heart is cardia, and so we named the Cardia. So that's kind of what we're all about. And my personal mission is to really go out there and change the conversation from success to fulfillment, because I feel like that's really what matters. And that goes to the point of each of us living a fulfilled life.
Absolutely. We're going to talk a little bit more about what you have going on, Christian. But I do want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, the amazing Miss Mindy Ash. Mindy helps people uncover subconscious blocks so they can get out of their own way and become the best version of themselves. Good morning, Mindy. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you for having me on your show.
Absolutely. So do you have great results?
I do have great results. I've worked with thousands and thousands of people. People work with me face to face and via Zoom. And I joke and I say I'm a much prettier, smaller version of Tony Robbins. So I do neuro-linguistic programming and whatever modality it takes to help people get out of their own way and be the best version of themselves.
Okay. What are you passionate about?
I love it. I'm passionate about helping people and really educating people in their thinking, because many people have stinking thinking and we are what we think about. And so really educating people in about how to talk to themselves nicely, not just other people nicely, but you know, that self-talk that we have going on in our mind, the way to structure our sentences, the way we interact with people so that we can just have a happier world, a more prosperous and flourishing world.
I love it. We're going to find out more about what you have going on, Mindy, but I want to go ahead and introduce our very next guest, and she's going to talk to us, Miss Stacy Verdick Case, owner of Peony Lane Designs, a vintage reseller, furniture flipper, author, and DIY YouTuber. She teaches people the skills they need to love what they already have on a budget. Good morning, Stacy. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm excited. Tell us about yourself. What you got going on?
Well, as you can see, I'm always in the workshop. I covered up some of the mess, so you guys don't have to look at that.
I want to see the mess. Yeah. I want to see the mess. Like, what's under that?
No, you don't. No, you really don't. You go on the YouTube channel for that. I'm very real in what I do. I want to make sure that I can empower people to do what I do, because I was raised by a father who brought me into the workshop. We did things together, and I'm always surprised that people can't do what I do, because I think it's so simple. And, yeah, I've taught a lot of people how to do things in their homes or as a career. A lot of my followers are now starting their own businesses, and I'm so excited to help them do that.
Well, I love it because I always, you know, there's an article that went out on me and it says Sharifa Hardy, the queen of DIY in business. Yeah. That's always been yes. my motto. If you're not going to give it to me, you're not going to create it, you're not going to help me, I'll just go ahead and do it myself. So I am right. definitely in agreement with you. We are going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Miss Kate Chapman. Good morning, Kate. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. Thank you so much for having me today. It's great to be here to talk to your audience.
Absolutely. Now, Kate Chapman Coaching. Kate Chapman is a Broadway veteran and Feel Better coach. Using her skills as a storyteller, Kate supports her clients through crafting a life that feels the best it can feel each and every day. Tell us about it, Kate.
Well, that end of my life is all coaching. And so people come to me and we work. I work as a life coach and a health coach. I'm certified in both. And I have my master's degree in holistic medicine. And I use all of my toolbox that I've had as a performer for 32 years, keeping myself feeling great, ups and downs through physical health, mental health, you know, environmental health, all of those sort of things. Are you going to talk about me? Dolly. This isn't your day to day.
Yes, it is. I'm Dalila Ding Dong. Hi, where's the camera? There. I look good, don't I?
Yes.
Is one of the people that I work with my clients. My clients seem to like Dolly a lot.
I'm the best.
I've never had a Dolly on my show. I think that is so cool.
I'm the only one.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now we're going to come back to you, Dolly. But right now, I just want to go ahead and introduce our next guest who might actually enjoy Dolly and the whole experience, Miss Cheryl Terrigant. You've seen her on the show before. She's always a pleasure. She's the author of a new children's picture book for early readers. That's Ridiculous, said Nicholas. She's also a proud mother and grandmother. Welcome back, Cheryl. How are you?
I'm doing really well, Sharifa. Thank you so much for having me back on the program. It's really nice to be back here. And I just want to tell the audience a little bit about my book. It's called That's Ridiculous, Said Nicholas. It's a very cute little book for early readers, children ages 6 to 8, and also toddlers will like it at bedtime. The story is about a child who's a little difficult, maybe a little difficult to handle, walks to the beat of his own drum. And it's about directing children like that to the right path through the power of positive parenting. And that's what the book focuses on, how to raise our children so that they're aware of the world and they know the truth about the world around them. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. I'm proud to say that the book was recently listed on the Maryland website under the author section, which is a very big honor. And we're happy to have it listed there. If you'd like to go to the Maryland State Government website, there's kids pages and there's an author section for local authors. And that's me. And I'm really happy to have the book listed there. I'm also working on another book with a friend. We're going to self-publish. And I recently signed a book deal for a young adult novel.
Congratulations. I love it. So now this is what I think we have to do. We have to have Dolly read your book. What a wonderful idea.
I love that puppet, by the way. It gives so much joy. Thank you so much for bringing her onto the program.
Who are you calling a puppet?
Absolutely. We are going to come back to you. I just want to go ahead and introduce my very next guest. Eric is in a house. He's an author, activist, and scholar. His work often orbited or opposed labor unions, but eventually he joined the team. Good morning, Eric. How are you?
I am great. And thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
And tell us about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? And what are you passionate about?
So I'm a novelist, I suppose. I have several books out there. And my new novel, Union Made, and I show it off as you counsel and recommend, my new novel is about labor unions. And it kind of comes from my past life on labor unions. And I grew up skeptical of labor unions. I thought they're old, they're obsolete, they're inefficient, they might be corrupt. Who needs labor unions? That's yesterday's news and old generation. And eventually I came around to realizing, no, labor unions, those are the folks who brought us the weekend. And those are the folks who raise wages and improve benefits. And the country is on the wrong track, and it still keeps on being on the wrong track. And the thing that might turn it around is working people working together. I could write a novel about that. And so I thought, well, my next novel should be about labor unions. And I thought, I've been involved in some campaigns. Oh, so I turned around, I went from a union skeptic to a union convert, became pro-labor union, worked on some union campaigns, Fight for 15, living wage campaigns, janitor campaigns. And I'm thinking, my next novel should be about unions. And I'm thinking, what's the best campaign for it to be? And then I realized, no, forget the campaigns. You might find campaigns interesting, but readers won't. So I wrote a romance. And it's a classic traditional romance. She is a union organizer and she's super fabulous and you should fall in love with her. And he works for the owner of the company she's trying to organize. So they are naturally adverse, but he being a right-thinking person does in fact go ahead and fall in love with her. And he starts to realize, wait, we could afford to give them some that we could afford to raise wages. And what's with that money we're paying to the union busting consultant? So he starts coming around to her side. Can he possibly get the girl? It's a romance, traditional in all of the good romance ways. I want you to have a good time reading it. And then like him and like me, maybe you'll come around differently on unions.
Absolutely. But I can tell you, Eric, you had me at the weekends. Like, that's all I needed to hear. Okay. I was sold at that point. Weekends. Yes, for everybody except our next guest. You've seen him here on the show a million times. This man works 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, still has time for his family, his wife, his kids, and to make appearances on the Roundtable Talk Show, Mr. Sanju Ganglani, CEO of AU4A, which also stands for Ask Us Anything. Good morning, Sanju. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Welcome back. I always love it when you're on the show. I appreciate you. But for some people who've been hiding under that rock, who haven't had an opportunity to meet you, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? What do you do? And what are you passionate about?
Well, I mean, if you don't know, you don't know for a reason, right? I own a digital marketing agency, a global digital marketing agency. But as much as that's my income earner, it's you know, not the only thing that we do, right? Our time and our efforts are invested mostly in philanthropy and community work and kind of giving back initiatives and mentorship as well. So we are, you know, as much as the business is the marketing agency and we absolutely love what we do, you know, we're all over the world and we've worked with clients as small as, you know, people walking the door going, I got an idea, what do I do now? Up to much larger Fortune 500s. You know, we've always kind of, it's always been sort of a means to an end, right? So in the sense that, you know, it's kind of always, I was turned to my team and I'm always like, you know, if I could do this for free, I just do this for free. I don't know why we're charging people for this. So, you know, my whole thing has always been to help other businesses grow, to help people find, you know, things that they're actually happy to do and they want to do. You know, I don't like using the word passionate so much just because it's so overused and a little bit cliche at this point. But, you know, finding that opportunity, that business, and then getting the support that you need to bring it to life, right? And I think especially over the past 2 years with all this adventure that we've all been through, it's even more important that people are finding things to supplement income, finding, you know, that or waking up and realizing that, you know, they've always wanted to do X, Y, Z and being able to give them the support to give that legs. So, you know, we're kind of all over the place in that sense. But like I said, as much as we are a marketing agency, our bigger focus is really on the community work and on the philanthropy side of things to help people grow.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, I'm going to ask you this question, Sanju, mainly because of what you just said. I had a conversation the other day. You know, as people know, I'm a business consultant and I love to help people to help to grow their businesses. And a young lady came to me and she said, Sharifa, you know, I have to find a business because I'm all over the place. And I said, what I've learned based on my experience over, you know, basically the last 30 years is the most successful people have multiple streams of income. They have multiple businesses. I said, so what I think you're saying is that you want to be able to focus on those businesses, but successful people tend to be all over the place. So I would love to hear your thoughts on that, Sanjay.
So I think there's a very fine balance, right, of taking on too much and being all over the place versus, you know, picking and choosing what key things you can actually manage. And then I think if you're going to manage multiple businesses or want to have multiple streams of income, you need to have the right people in place to help you manage it, right? You're only one man. You can't be the accountant and the designer and the salesperson. Like, it's not going to work. So you need to, if you're going to do that, you need to have the resources in place to help you with it. And you have to actually have enough of an understanding of that business and industry to be successful, right? Investing in something just because someone's business is for sale, not knowing anything about it is, you know, that becomes your full-time job. So I think picking one as your primary, having other things that you're you know, exploring is obviously, you know, a great idea. I think ensuring that they're complementary to your primary. So like in our case, you know, we went and bought a print shop a few years ago. That was complementary to our business, right? So, you know, finding things that are within the realm of what you specialize or you're good at, I think is far better than, you know, me going out and buying a financial company when I have no idea about how to advise you about your wealth, right? Mm-hmm. So it just is, you know, making sure that you're giving that time and that passion or that time and that focus back to what you're going to enjoy.
Absolutely. Yeah, Christian, I'd love to hear you talk to.
Yeah, I was just going to say on that side of it, too. I think a lot of it, depending on what the purpose is of why you're trying to build the business, too. I know for us, I'm in multiple different industries, but it's because there's the root of what we're doing is still focused on building heart-centered businesses. So our principles, how we do our HR and accounting, finances, team building, all that stuff is the same, regardless of whether it's my chocolate shop that I own that's across the street from my office or whether it's my, you know, real estate company working on projects in Costa Rica. And so I think the way that we run the business is different. But I had a mentor that actually said a really cool word that to what you're saying about the multiple types of businesses is rather than being a serial entrepreneur, a lot of times it's actually a parallel entrepreneur. You're running businesses kind of parallel, but at different stages, I think is more of the key. Don't start a whole bunch of startups at the same time. I've done that and it did not work so well, right? But if you got a business established and you've run it, now it's maybe managed by somebody else and the team, like was already just mentioned, teams are so important, then maybe you start the next one and you can kind of parallel them.
Mm-hmm. Agree. Definitely agree. I saw you nodding, Stacey. You can nod on a round
table. I am nodding. I didn't want to interrupt, but I'm nodding because I, you know, when I started my business, I started with brick and mortar and I was selling, you know, individual customer pieces first. And then I moved to a store. And then when I felt like I had the rhythm of that and I could do that on a consistent basis without much effort, then I moved into the online sphere. And then I moved, you know, once I was selling on Etsy and doing my vintage stuff, then I moved to the YouTube channel. And it was like, exactly, they parallel each other. They're all parts of the same business, but they're not the same animal, you know. And I think a lot of people watch what I do and they're like, how can you do it all? And it's like, well, because this part over here is sort of managing itself. And while I'm trying to find furniture, the vintage stuff shows up. And, you know, it's like it's pieces of a whole. And if I hadn't had those revenue streams in place before the pandemic, I had a lot of friends that had to quit what they were doing, you know, and it was really sad to see because their brick and mortar stores were closed. And I tell everybody, if you can diversify as much as you can, do it without burning out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Definitely agree. Mindy, you're over there being polite. What are your thoughts?
No, I agree with that. It's interesting in the last couple of months, I've decided to as well get a insurance license so that I can assist people with wealth building. And it's not my primary focus of business. I've been since 2006 seeing clients doing a hypnotherapy and coaching. And what I found is so many people in this country are struggling financially. They have a poor mindset. They have less than $2,000. I think, what is the statistic? Is it like half the population has less than $2,000 in their savings account? And so what I'm wanting to do, and it's on the side, but it's going to develop, is educate people about their finances and how to make their money work for them. But additionally, to shift their mindset, because there's so many people running around thinking, oh, I can't afford that, or money's not important. And when we say something like, oh, money's not important, it's actually telling your subconscious it's not important, and then we repel it. Yep. So I'm really about educating people and how to shift their focus. Obviously, we want the money to help people, to give back, but we have to think the right thoughts so that we can attract in the wealth, attract in the health, and the fulfilling relationships.
Yes, absolutely. We have to attract it. And I think a lot of people are going through the same type of quandary. You mentioned less than $200 or $2,000 in the bank or for the savings. And some people don't even have a savings. And this is all people are seeing going on through these times, especially during what many are calling the Great Resignation.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that, Eric. What's going on in the world?
Not enough savings. These people need unions. And that's by the way, it's Martin Luther King Day today, I realize. Everybody knows Martin Luther King. We think of him for civil rights. We realize that he was shot. He was killed way too young. And do people know what Martin Luther King was doing the day he was shot? It was not a civil rights event. It was not a civil rights protest. He was marching with the Memphis sanitation workers. That was a job action. That was a labor strike. Nowadays, we might call that justice for janitors. And one of the things about unions is they bring people together. All different races and colors all come together. They have these various jobs. They find a way to work together on what it is that they have an interest in. It's the salary. It's the benefits. It's the security. It's the something that's better for the community. The striking school teachers are in it for the kids, and they're in it to keep the neighborhood safe and the community safe. And what is the point of intersection? And they try to look beyond race and go beyond race. And in my book, Union Made, the leaders are Pakistani, they're African-American, they're white, they're Latino, she's from Peru. And I bring together this rainbow coalition deliberately in the book when I'm choosing the characters and choosing what they look like. And I have the spirit of Martin Luther King behind me because he was looking as these marches for unity, and in the context of labor, it is looking for labor unity. And by the way, let's get you some more time off and a better wage.
Hey, I have a question on that too, Eric. I think because a lot of time we're talking about labor unions and whatnot. I think can you maybe share what is beneath that? Because I think a lot of us, like for myself, there's no labor union that's going to work within my organization. It's just too small at this stage. I'm sure, but maybe that's an ignorant statement. But what is the core? I know for us, we are people first. We have so many benefits that we do because I'm trying to build a heart-centered company that's all about serving the people and building it. But like when you say labor unit, sometimes I think that's going to fall on deaf ears or over the head, but I think your message is important. So I'd love to get like, what is behind that? Like, what is the core of what a union is trying to push for their people?
Thank you for that question. That's a really good question. And especially a small company or a not-for-profit, unions tend to be less relevant. Sorry, I'm going to get struck dead for saying that. By the way, I'm a member of the National Writers Union, and I pay my dues. But really, it tends to be towards bigger companies. My wife works in a consulting firm. She complains about the long hours. She complains about the salary structures and all the rest of it, and the relations between the boss and the junior staff. And she needs a labor union. And it doesn't even occur to the people there to seek or join or create a labor union just because they think of labor as, oh, that's old industry, that's steel, that's manufacturing, that's something else, that's not me. That's why a lot of the new union campaigns, Amazon is getting some headlines these days, Walmart, retail, and bring back manufacturing, that's all union work. And then if you can bring the manufacturing back from China, you get good, and forgive me, I'm going to call it union wage jobs, living wage jobs. And then that's good for everybody in the community. Everybody in Pittsburgh benefits from having more steel work in Pittsburgh. And there's a lot more to Pittsburgh than just steel. But that's what the labor unions are really all about. And again, it's the people coming together. One worker alone is powerless. All of the workers together can shut down the factory and demand a raise. That's what unions do.
Yes, but that's what we're seeing in today's economy is that, and I was reading an article on this, is that right now it's the employee who has the power. People are doing the study. It used to be the employer, and then it might have been the customer, but right now it's the employee. My dad and I were discussing this the other day. He said he went to the post office. In the post office, there was one employee. and there was a long line of people, and people were complaining. And the lady, not to say this is right, because I, you know, I'm still pro customer service, but she literally told the people, look, if you want some help, you can go down. We're hiring and fill this position, but they don't have enough employees. So you just have to wait. I mean, she can't create people. So Stacey, I love to hear your thoughts.
Well, everything that Eric was saying that his wife is experiencing is the reason why there's the great exodus for people and they're starting their own businesses, because frankly, we're all tired of working for the tyrant boss who's knows less about your company than you do. I mean, I can't even count the number of businesses that I worked in that the owner of the company had no idea half the stuff that was going on and the abuses that employees take. And employees are like, nope, I'm done. I'm out. And so many people during the pandemic took that time to start their own businesses because we're done with it. We're done being treated like cattle, you know, and it's just, it's a horrifying world out there. And every time I think my business isn't going to succeed or I'm going to fail, I just remember what it was like to sit in those cubicles and like the most soul sucking cubicle in the whole world. And it was I'm like, no, I can't do it. I will work 8 times as hard at my own business than I will. So I will never have to go back to work for one of those people because they had like literally no idea what their business was doing.
Absolutely.
What's the change for that? Because I know like we talked about the unions on that side fighting it, but from an entrepreneur standpoint, are you running businesses now? Like what are we doing to talk about that? I know for us, I know we're always kind of sharing about these heart-centered practices, how to like treat our people right, how to have benefits and how different components. But what are some of the tangibles? Because I think there's a lot of companies out there that are doing good by their people and moving through. How do we amplify those people? That's what I'd love to hear some of the ideas as well.
Yes. Sanju, you want to take that?
Sure. I mean, you know, it's funny, the whole corporate thing, you know, the way I used to look at it was every day is your last day. Right. And, you know, when you get into that mindset, I realize that that's a scary place to be. Right. You combine that with the fact that people don't have savings, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's interesting to see the shift that's going on right now and looking back. In terms of taking care of employees, I know here in Canada, they're introducing a like France, I believe it is the legislation around right to disconnect. Right. For larger corporations. You know, that's great for larger corporations, but, you know, for companies that have, I think it's 25 and under, they're not obliged to go ahead and follow that. And unfortunately, I think a lot of, I don't want to say abuses, but a lot of the issues that happen in terms of being overworked and being underappreciated are at the organizations that are under 25 people. So I'm not sure how much of a problem that's going to solve. I don't know if that's going on in the States as well right now, but you know, for us personally on our roadmap, we were already working towards a 4-day work week to this year. You know, we do things like, you know, give birthdays off. We do, you know, little perks and benefits, you know, to make sure that everyone's appreciated. And, you know, if people need mental health days, if they just aren't feeling like working that day, we're okay with that, right? Like we'll literally say no problem. Enjoy your day and come back when you're ready kind of thing. So I think having that flexibility and understanding that people aren't clock driven, they're task driven, right? And I think the sooner or the more that people understand and appreciate that, you'll understand that just because you're sitting at your desk 9 to 5 doesn't mean you're being productive, right? You may be productive at 2 a.m. because you had a great idea, and that's more of what we need versus, you know, the obligation on the other side. So that's sort of my take on it. That's how we run our company. You know, we're very much, you want to go watch a movie on a Tuesday afternoon, go have fun. But if something is due on Wednesday at 2, it's Wednesday at 1:59 on our desk kind of thing. So that mutual respect and that, you know, belief that everyone is an adult and a professional is, I think, the way the mindset is shifting towards very quickly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are definitely going to go ahead and continue this conversation. Wonderful conversation. But right now we do need to stop for a brief commercial break.
You need JordansRooter.com. Get free estimates, 24-hour service, special discounts for seniors and veterans. That's JordansRooter.com. Have a home repair or some remodeling you need done? No problem. We can handle all that too. Give us a call today at 800-300-0358. At Jordans Rooter, we take pride in our work and always make sure to get the job done right the first time. That's JordansRooter.com. We want to be your Mr. Fix-It. We'll be right back.
Are you a business owner, CEO, entrepreneur, artist, musician, celebrity, or influencer interested in more exposure for your business? Schedule your one-on-one interview with Sharifa Hardy today. We handle everything for you. We video interview you, we professionally produce your interview, and we distribute your interview. We do the work so you can focus on putting your best foot forward. If you have been looking for more ways to get your product or service in front of more people, this is the opportunity for you. Schedule your one-on-one interview with Sharifa Hardy today.
Yes, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it so much.
I had a famous person, Sanju, on there, like crushing it out there with this company. I like it.
Thank you.
Miss Cheryl, we're talking about the change in the world, being an entrepreneur, labor unions, corp. You just sitting back there quiet.
I'm a little quiet today, only because I was under the weather for the past 2 weeks, and I'm just getting back on my feet. I'm just sitting back and listening to the conversation, and I'm thinking to myself, as an author, how do I fit into this conversation? But I figured out how. This is my second act. I used to practice law, and I left. And the reason I left is because it just was not fulfilling to me. And I've always wanted to be a writer. I've done a lot of writing over the course of my life. I always thought that I would publish a novel or that I would do some kind of book. And it just got to the point where I said to myself, if I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. And so this is my second act. I'm the mother of three adult children, and I have two little grandchildren. And this is what I want to be doing. I want to be writing. I'm most happy when I'm writing, and I like creating. And I said to myself, Cheryl, you just have to go for it. And maybe people don't realize that it is difficult reinventing yourself. It can be difficult, but if you really want it, you can do it. And the message behind my book of That's Ridiculous, Said Nicholas, is that children should never be afraid to question. It's okay, but be humble, but it's okay to question. And when we hear things that don't agree with us, we should speak up. And I think that is part of the message with the entrepreneurs.
Cheryl, I'm gonna speak up. I didn't mean to cut you off in speaking up, but I'm gonna speak up, Cheryl, okay? Because you asked the question. That's Ridiculous Said Nicholas is about. It's about asking questions. So my question for you, Cheryl, is, do you have a boss?
I do have a boss. My boss is me.
Right. There you go, Cheryl. Talk to us.
My boss is me. And the great thing about being a creative is, yeah, you might not always be feeling it, but when you have a boss and your boss says, sit down, go in front of the computer, write some words, see what you can put out today, then you know that you are working at a pace. And that's important when you're a writer, because if you're not working at a pace, then you're not creating. And your boss has to always be telling you, sit down and do it. Even if nothing gets produced, at least you've tried for the day. And that's important.
So that answered that question. How do you fit into the conversation? You are an entrepreneur. You're somebody that is going out there, making it happen for you, because that's one of the things that I see across the board, especially with authors, is they will say to me, and I've done nearly 400 episodes now, and I think Sanju was on like episode 12, something like that. But, you know, it's been a long process, but they always say, but Sharifa, is it okay for me to be on your show because I'm not an entrepreneur? And I'm like, who told you that? Where did you get this message from? You know, unless
you're one of the biggest entrepreneurs, because you're always pushing your material, always.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, Miss Katie.
I think it's that living by fulfillment, like you're talking about. You said your boss is you, but I think that's that whole concept of like, where are we pursuit of what drives our internal, what's giving us fulfillment in our lives, whether I'm a lawyer or whether I become writing children's book and writing author and changing people's lives that way. It's like, what drives you the most? That's when you're going to give the most impact on this planet, and the right impact when you're doing that. So I love that. So good job for you. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Kristen. I think that that is so true. And that is a really good point. When you are passionate about what you're doing, then you are doing your best work.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Absolutely. Now, Dolly's quiet. Kate's quiet. What's going on in this corner over here?
Well, here's the thing. I know that I fit into every room that I go into. So as an actor, that has to be the job. You go into the room, you fit in the room. If you don't fit in the room, you don't get the job. So that's been an interesting thing to listen to people say, I don't fit in the room, because I've just been spending, you know, the last 32 years going into the room, fitting in the room. It's also interesting because as an actor, I work with lots of unions. They're not all created the same. It's not all the same experience, but I'm grateful for every single one of them. And I've also worked in corporate America for 37 years, I think, at this point, off and on, because it's nice money. But I don't like to stay there very long. I do it when I need it. I don't do it when I don't need it. It's definitely a part-time on the side thing, which is an interesting thing to do, to come in and out of corporate America and see how it's morphed and changed. And I will say, in all of the years that I've been part of it, wow, do they treat me like I am a child more and more every second.
You think it's getting worse?
Oh my gosh, it's so much worse. It's so much worse. With the layer of HR that has come into corporate America, it has really changed the dynamics completely. And I think that's a lot of people that really don't know who they are, and they have a mean streak. Sorry, HR people.
No, it's just very interesting, because so many people have told me that it's getting better. You know, definitely horrible to have all the losses, but because they're working at home, more companies are offering more flexibility, and HR is a little bit more lenient, you know, during this time than they've ever been.
I think it depends where you are. And I think the leniency comes from necessity of having the employee, not for taking care of the employee. It definitely feels like it's a begrudging sort of a situation. It's not the preferred situation.
Okay. Well, I want to go over here and ask Ms. Mindy.
Yes. Well, I agree with that. And it's interesting because we need strength-built organizations, heart-centered organizations. And a lot of it really depends on the person and what they're passionate about and what they're wanting to do. I mean, I'm sure everyone here would agree, we have people that are entrepreneur mindset, and then we have the people that are work mindset that do need the unions to help them and to be behind them. And then we've got the entrepreneurs that get out there. And I also am an author. I wrote a book called Say This, Not That, kind of a take on Eat This, Not That. And it talks about the right way to structure our sentences so that we can be more effective communicators. And so that's what I'm passionate about, is really helping people create the right mindset so that they're the best version of themselves.
We have to talk a little bit more about that, but I'm going to go over to Eric and see his thoughts on the whole idea of what Mindy had to say in terms of the labor unions.
So yes, unions, there's some pros, there's some cons, there's some better, some worse, their hands are dirty over the years, but on the whole, they're a good thing. And unionizing is entrepreneurial. The union organizer is taking a risk. They might lose their job, and they're trying to make things better for everybody in the workplace. I kind of want to rewind to a different minute. We're talking about the big business versus the small business, and I'm all for the small business. The unions tend to be more in the big business world, and the corporate America someone was talking about. And I feel like corporate America has lost its way. It's treating its workers badly. And I'm hearing the pandemic economy called the take this job and shove it economy, with more people getting the heck out of there. And the businesses aren't treating them well. Famous old quote I keep coming back to from Henry Ford. Hopefully it's true. It's apocryphal and legendary in any case. And Henry Ford said, I need to pay my workers enough that they can afford to buy my cars. I need to pay my workers enough that they can afford to buy my cars. And now corporate America is all about extract more work from the people. Somebody else will take the job afterward. Bring the wages down as low as you can possibly get them. And it's unhealthy for everybody. It's bad for our entire society. And I feel like a lot of the problems that we're having are because people are working the multiple jobs. They have the big job. They work for Walmart during the day. They work for McDonald's at night. And they still don't have enough time for their kids or enough money to pay the rent if something goes wrong. And so our corporate America has been, once upon a time, the rising tide lifted all boats. And nowadays it hasn't so much. And what we need to do is work together, which is an entrepreneurial activity. Oh, and one other thing. Writing books is absolutely entrepreneurial. You need to sell them. You need to manage your webpage. You need to talk to people like Sharifa and all of you. And writing books is ultimately at some level of business.
I have a question for Eric.
Please.
Is your book have like a little spice to it? I'm curious. The romance.
It's actually very interesting there. There was some disagreement between me and my publisher who wanted more spice. Wait, you got a boy, you got a girl, you got a romance. We need sex scenes. We need this. We need that. And I was like, wait a minute. It's a union campaign going on. He finally gets the nerve up to ask her out. And she says, are you kidding? After the contract is signed, after the campaign is done, then you can go ahead and ask me out and we'll see what I say after that.
Okay.
So we get some spice, we get a little kissy at the end. We can see where it's going. So I want you to have your romance satisfied. We're gonna get there. But forgive me, not during the campaign. What we need to do is take care of the workers. That's union made.
I just want to piggyback a little bit on what Eric said, if that's possible.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I noticed leading not necessarily into the pandemic, but maybe about 10 years before, was the lack of company loyalty. It used to be when you got a job, you stayed with that company really until you were retired. And then there was a shift and employees started leaving companies. Maybe it was around the tech bubble, but employees started leaving companies fairly routinely. And I think what happened was that there was this shift, and with employees taking jobs as they came along, not necessarily having company loyalty, there also was not loyalty back to the employees. And so there started to be this disposable type of attitude towards employees that if you leave, we can replace you. It's not a big deal. And as that started to happen, I think what happened was employees started to feel less valued. And now people are looking for meaning. They really are. They're looking for meaning in their careers.
Yes.
See, and I kind of disagree a little bit.
Okay. Let's hear from
you. I disagree that the employees were not loyal and they were leaving. No one leaves a job they're happy with. If you're treating your employees right and they love you, they are loyal to your company. It's the companies. I worked for a company and I'm not going to name names, but I'll tell you exactly what happened is they needed to free up $100,000. So I was an accountant at the time and they bring me in and they're like, okay, who can we cut? And they were going through like the lowest level mailroom, admin, all this stuff. And I turned and looked at them. I said, how about one vice president? Oh my gosh, you guys. One vice president wouldn't have affected our company at all. Eliminating 20 lower level employees was their solution to the problem. And it created an upline of stress for everyone that was left behind. And that's why people left those companies. So it wasn't that they weren't loyal. Yeah. So I disagree with that because we were loyal to this company. We, you know, loved our boss. It was upper management who decided things about the company that made no sense whatsoever, that created a huge world of stress, and everybody went, well, I'm going to start looking.
I think, Mindy, were you going to say something?
Oh, no. I thought it was fascinating, actually, what Stacy was saying, because I had to think about it at first, because obviously I'm self-employed, and I came from corporate world. I was director of sales for the number one visitor publication in Honolulu, Hawaii. And I've always had that entrepreneurial spirit. So I did leave there, leave the job. And so at first when she said something about, you know, employees that are happy don't leave. And I thought about it and I was happy, but I wasn't at that level of happiness that she was mentioning, to where you felt really a part of the company. And it's interesting. I have a lot of experience with education and Dale Carnegie training and so forth. And, you know, people think that it's money that motivates us. But as a Christian would, you know, in the heart-centered would say, it's not so much just the money, it's recognition. It's feeling like we're part of something. And I think when companies really acknowledge their employees, make them feel part of the process and part of something, and pay them well, then they do keep good employees. Employees are loyal.
Interesting. I think, Eric, you were going to say something.
It's a lot of this being said now. The employers in the old days of the long careers, they were loyal to the workers, and they brought them along and they grew them and they advanced them through their through their careers. And when technology changed, they trained their workers to move with the new technology. Nowadays, they just fire the workers and hire somebody new. In my book, I come up with something. Please, please, please quote me on this. I hope this will catch on. I call it the golden rule of the workplace. And we all grew up with the golden rule, treat each other as you want to be treated. My golden rule of the workplace, treat your employer no better than your employer treats you. And if they're treating you well, you owe them loyalty back. You truly do. And if they're crapping on you all the time, yes, you can go ahead and leave without feeling like you're being disloyal. You don't actually have to treat your employer better than they treat you. They are abusing the golden rule that we all grew up with.
Very interesting.
You know, that's one of the things that as a young actress I learned, and I took it into the business world as well. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are willing to prey off of people who are kind and generous and are showing up. And there were all these instances where I was asked to work for free or work for no money and then be abused. And I stopped putting anything into those jobs. And then lo and behold, I stopped getting invited to those jobs because people didn't like me in workplaces because I wasn't being treated well. And so you didn't get the best of me. And so I really think that if employers are really listening to this, if you want the best of your people, look for the best in them. You're going to find it. So many employers look for what you're doing wrong, and that's what they focus on. And, you know, it takes, what is it, one compliment, like 10 compliments are needed for every one criticism. So if you think about the years of employers criticizing people, and, you know, how many times do you get the compliment, and how many times do you really feel like it's real? You know, there's a lot of lip service to things.
Yeah, I think that's part of the conversation in regards to what I talk about, changing the conversation from success to fulfillment. And because I think in the employee world or your employee or your employer, I think a lot of times we get mistaken because we're rating based on like, where do we think you need to become to be successful in this job or this offering? Whereas if you're in a job that you're not loving, you're not producing, and you're getting, you know, getting in trouble all the time or getting called out for things you're not even working, it's like, if you love yourself enough and you have that goal of like, hey, I want to go and fulfill, you're going to either be bold enough to have a conversation with people to say, hey, this is how I need to be treated to be able to get the best out of me. Or if they're not pertaining to that, you're going to be able to walk onto a different job or move to a different area where you're going to be able to produce and be valued for what you do. I think as an employee, that's important. I think as an employer, I think it's opening up that conversation, like asking your team members, asking people like, hey, what's driving you? What's, you know, what's making you feel fulfilled in this role and in this work? And fulfillment's about being the best version of yourself. It's not about being happy all the time and having everything go perfect, because that's not reality of life. But it is about, hey, are you in this role? And I know in our company, we've moved people from different roles because when we really sit down and find out what's driving them, what's giving them fulfillment, they're thriving in one area and another part of their job, they're not, because it's not driving them. And then all of a sudden it just shows overall their whole work, where it's like, well, stop doing those things. Let's find other people that are excited about that side of it. So I think that the conversation from employers should be asking people, hey, what is it that you're wanting to do? This is the big vision. This is what we're wanting to accomplish. This is what we're wanting to do as a company. Does it fit for you? And then also, where in this role do you want to fit if you find good workers, right? So I think that's a good important thing for companies.
Yes. Now, for someone who's been laid off 8 times, I definitely do not believe in company loyalty. I do not believe those companies were loyal to their employees. But it's something we get because I was laid off 8 times that is very important to me with my team, letting them understand that you are valued and what can I do to make you happy as opposed to just making you feel like you are just a number. This has definitely been a very interesting and enlightened conversation. We are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Ms. Kate.
So I think to take away that there are so many paths to go in life, and just be brave and choose the one that delights you. And then read my book, A Pixie's Prescription, A Fun Toolkit for a Feel Better Life. Yeah, and sing through your day. We didn't talk about that, but we should.
That's why we have a takeaway. Sing through your day. That's the message we got from Ms. Kate. Mindy, what do you have for people?
Well, I'd encourage them to visit my website, which is greatresultscoach.com. And if you want to get out of your own way, if you feel like you're taking a couple steps forward and a couple steps back and you need help and you don't know what's going on, it's in your unconscious mind. And I can help you let go of negative self-talk and past programming and really move forward in your life and be the best version of yourself. I do a free 15-minute success strategy call, and they're welcome to reach out to me at 702-721-0370.
I love it. I love it. Thank you, Ms. Mindy. Cheryl, what do you have for the people?
Well, I would like to tell everyone to go out and please buy my book, That's Ridiculous, Said Nicholas. It's available on Amazon. It's available on Barnes & Noble and a lot of other bookstores online. Please follow me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/ridicnic, R-I-D-I-C-N-I-C, or you can follow me on Instagram at Cheryl Terrigan. And hopefully I will be able to communicate with you as well. If you would like, please message me at my email, iproofwell@gmail.com. I have free coloring pages from the book for anybody who would like it.
I love it. So wonderful. Thank you. Eric, what do you have for people?
Fiction is part of social change. Fiction is just part of how we make the world a better place. We imagine things and we write about them and we want to make them better. I wrote a book to inspire and inform union organizers and to enlighten union skeptics. But fundamentally, it's a romance. I hope you'll enjoy it. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to have a good time with it. And so please, as others have said, buy the book. But one little caveat, if you could not buy it on Amazon, that would be even better. You've got a local independent bookstore. Thanks.
Okay, I was about to say, well, where you want us to buy it, Eric? You got to tell us.
Buy it from the publisher, hardballpress.com, Hardball Press from the publisher. That's the best place to buy it. On my webpage, ericlotti.com, it links to Hardball Press. You can go to Hardball Press or from your local independent bookseller.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric. Ms. Stacy, what do you have for the people?
Well, obviously, I would love for you guys, if you're interested in DIY, to check out my YouTube channel. Go to peonylanedesigns.com and you can get there. But one thing I want to leave, since we're doing a business thing, I just want to tell every owner or CEO out there that if you haven't acknowledged the millions of wonderful things that an employee has done, you don't have the right to drop the hammer when they make one mistake. Mm.
Can't leave us with that, Stacy.
That's it. Mm-mm, yeah, no, I got to leave you with that. Let's totally leave it there.
Just drop the mic. Boom. Thank you. Drop the mic. I'm like, I need more. Thank you. Christian, what do you have for people?
Awesome. Well, I think one of the biggest things I think in this world, in this time, and always, is that you got to sit there and realize that you matter, right? Your focus, what you're wanting to accomplish, matters. And I think sometimes we get lost in whether we're employees or whether we're entrepreneurs, and we get stuck in the minutia of life, and we forget that the actions that we do impact so many people around us. So I think I'd love it to leave it with, like, you matter, and focus on fulfillment, because at the end of the day, you know, success is meaningless without fulfillment. So that'd be what I'd say.
And what does your company do?
my cart, I got two websites on there. If you want to check out hellocardia.com, that's kind of watching our journey of how we building heart centered companies. We'll publish a lot of information over the years about what we're doing, what's going on there in regards to how you operate your companies that you're in. And then my personal website, kristenhiscock.com. We'll have different articles about running heart centered businesses or fulfillment and those type of things. So, and you can follow on all the social platforms as well.
Yes. Thank you, Christian. Mr. Sanju, what did you think of this show? You coming back? Will we ever see you again?
you always manage to bring together the coolest people in one place. And, you know, as diverse as everyone is, everyone's still complimentary, which is really, you know, always a good time. My little spiel at the end, you know, I like to leave with a quote. This one for this episode, it's going to be, you can use everything that happens in your life as a process of empowerment or to entangle yourself. And I think that holds true for a lot of the conversation that happened today between unions and employees and just general life advice and children's books, right, in terms of messaging. You know, from a personal standpoint, obviously, you know, like everyone else, we encourage you to take care of your peoples. Because at the end of the day, I think a lot of us recognize that without the people that we have working with us, we would be nothing, or we would have nothing to really talk about or have a company to be running. So I think, you know, that appreciation and gratitude should be constant. And then on a selfish plug business side of it, au4a.com, so askusforanything.com. You know, I'm happy to, you know, give free consults, second opinions, if you need a little help on some strategy with your marketing plans. You know, no strings attached. We're happy to help out and chat.
Okay. You know, you can't tell me stuff like that, Sanju, because I'm be calling you every day. Sanju, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I need to block your number.
Sanju, let me tell you a fact. I have three phones, okay? I'm just telling you, you have to block them all, because I'm calling you every day from some phone, give me a Google Voice, whatever it is. But I need Sanju's opinion on my business. This has been an incredible show. I have truly enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun. But I just want to thank everyone for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. You are so welcome. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives. I definitely appreciate your support. I appreciate you watching. I appreciate you sharing. But the most important thing to me is that you support our guests. Our guests were here this morning to support you, to give you their advice, their strategies, their guidance. So please support them. Pick up a couple of copies of their books. Call Sanju, ask him a whole bunch of questions, ask him to help you build his business. Christian has some great advice. Yes, Mindy says, say this, not that. You have Dolly over here. Support our guests. Visit their websites. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Send them a message. And when you do, please let them know. Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested that I can help your business, or you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day.
Thank you, Sharifa.